there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to another Horror for the Holidays stocking stuffer. I'm Jeff Searcy.
Hey, listeners, it's me, Jay Logsdon. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking a stocking stuffer, but this is supposed to be the Beast of Walton Street. That's coming here in a couple weeks. I woke up the other day with basically no ability to speak, feeling like total shit. This is the first day I've actually felt good in a couple days, so we're just doing a couple stocking stuffers while I recover, and hopefully you don't have to hear me talk that much, and I don't, you know, lose my voice by spending it over an hour talking about the Beast of Walton Street.
This is an all an elaborate cover story for the fact that Jay Logsdon ate way too many plastic cockroaches and gave himself PPE toxicity.
Well, you caught me. Well, Jeff, we're gonna, before we do anything else, we're gonna start what I'm going to loosely label the summer of soda.
Oh boy! Open up the Joe Bob cooler. Oh, well, we have some Asian characters on here, Jay.
It's got like some kind of
Japanese looking with a pear, perhaps,
or a lemon,
maybe a bamboo shoot,
a lemon Pepsi of some kind.
I don't know.
I bought like an 8-pack of various Japanese sodas.
Hmm.
And I said, we need to try these.
Yes. Apparently that is a palm meld and green bamboo are the flavors.
All right. Well, let's give it a try.
Can't say I've ever heard of that fruit, so this should be interesting, Jay.
Also, I don't like Pepsi. So
I also
maybe Japanese Pepsi is actually amazing.
I mean, that would be cool.
Also, should we be worried that there was like no fizz when we popped the...
It smells like Pepsi. I definitely smell the Pepsi.
I don't dislike it.
It tastes like Pepsi with a strong afternote of wood. I'm guessing that's the bamboo.
There's absolutely like zero carbonation.
Yes, very flat. Hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what to think about that at all. It's not bad. Honestly, I think it tastes better than some Pepsis I've had.
Yeah, so it's better than regular Pepsi. I'll give it that. Kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
So bit of an inauspicious start to the summer of soda, I will say.
Well, don't worry. There's way more coming. Like, did you hear that, that, you know, hoity-toity Dr. Pepper isn't the only cherry soda or whatever they call it on the black?
Oh, really?
Someone who's a little extra is back to being a mister and brought some extra flavors. So that's something that's coming. And there's a couple other things coming up as well.
The return of the Pib.
Yep.
I see. Well, definitely to add that to the
Oh, absolutely.
It sounds like a fat boy summer thing if I've ever heard it.
All right. Well,
Well, anyway, on to the business of what we actually came here to discuss, Jay. Jeff Searcy presents, Jay Logsdon presents, Blumhouse presents,
Brendan Fraser presents,
presents Lee Corin's The Mummy. Okay. First of all, gotta say, Jay, movie has nothing to do with mummies. I'm going to just get that out of the way off the rip.
So I did not get to see Lee Cronin's The Mummy, which whatever.
Well, Jay, I'll bring up something up now. You could talk about it. You wouldn't have been able to see it even if you had been in the theater with me, which is a problem we will address later.
But no, literally like every single thing that like every chance I had to see the movie, it was just kind of like, oh, I can't make that showing. Oh, I can't make that work. And finally, I just went like, people who've seen on Instagram, my dog passed away. And so like one of the days I was going to go, oh, I had to put Noble down. So like all these different things just kind of got in the way of seeing the movie. And finally, I just went, I don't think I meant to see Lee Cronin's The Mummy.
You know, Jay, if only you could have taken the same divine warning signs when you doggedly pursued those terrible Oreos.
More on those later.
Destroyed me, by the way. I have nightmares of that cream corn Oreo.
Listener Robert turned me on to the Oreo's newest heinous invention.
Oh, my God. But yes, so ridiculous title aside, this has... savvy listeners may remember that this is the same guy who did the Evil Dead reboot. Well, they didn't bring him on for the second one because Sam Raimi likes to grab new directors to give him a chance to make an Evil Dead movie. So he's like, hey, you know what? Maybe I'll just make Evil Dead again, but this time it's Timu version with a mummy.
That's the big thing I've heard is that I think they had even originally offered him to do Evil Dead Rise, and he turned it down saying, no, I want to do my own thing.
Well, yes.
And the newest one.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I want to do my own thing. And then just made another Evil Dead movie. And then when people are like, you just made another Evil Dead movie, but with a mummy, in quotes, instead of a deadite. Mummy. Yeah. He went, oh, it's just part of the Evil Dead universe. Shut the fuck up.
First of all, got an important point to note here. You cannot say a family has been guarding something for 80 generations and then say it's 3,000 years old. That math does not math, by the way. Just pointing that out to whoever wrote the script. I'm guessing him, probably. Second of all, what do you think goes on in the country of Egypt? Because this movie is set in the modern day, and in Egypt, they have a hospital with no power and no modern medical equipment. The police are working on what looks like a Commodore 64.
If you literally look at picture, you will. If you look at pictures of the Great Pyramids, you'll literally see, like, you can sit at a McDonald's and look out your window and see the Great Pyramids.
Speaking of the pyramids, they go to an Egyptologist to try to figure some of this out, and he operates his Egyptology practice, I guess you would call it, in a dingy old basement by candlelight, Jay. You know, it's not Egypt. Like that's Egypt's biggest moneymaker is the tourism that surrounds ancient Egypt and everything to do with the pyramids and mummies. And they have vast state-of-the-art facilities where they preserve these things for their museums and stuff. No, it's guys in dingy basements who, by the way, I'm beginning to think this Egyptologist was not one, Jay, because instead of carefully unwrapping the mummy, he rips the bandages directly off its face to, quote-unquote, get a good look at it. So bear in mind, Dad loses track of kid through no fault of his own, really. I mean, kids run off. It happens. But what doesn't usually happen is kid gets kidnapped by freaky cult who then
turns into mummy.
Ancient mummy curse demon inside kid. Kid is locked in sarcophagus for 8 years. Then found. And then, you know, you would think, especially given her condition, because, yes, when they go to find her, I don't know, I would say the Middle Ages hospital with torches on the wall and no electricity. they go get her and they just take her home, Jay. No tests, no, like, you know, maybe we should get her some treatment at like a psychiatric hospital or something. No idea what happened to her.
And isn't there, I heard someone say there's like a line where like the mom or the dad or someone in the family is like, there's something wrong with whatever the daughter's name is. And it's like, you fucking think?
Yes. And you would think that would be bigger cause for concern. Also, the fact that she is very clearly possessed by a demon.
Or she's acting weird is maybe what they say.
They continue to act like nothing is wrong with her, even after they bring her home. Which, by the way, a scene that really sets the tone of this movie. So, they bring her home. And instead of the dad picking, because this girl is like tiny and malnourished, instead of him picking her up and carrying her up the stairs, they drag her elaborate electric wheelchair step by step. And it's not played for laughs in the movie. They're taking it seriously. But it is one of the most hilarious things I've seen in a movie this year, Jay.
I would have lost my mind.
Drag it up the steps instead of just carrying her and then bringing the wheelchair up afterwards. But setting aside all that, so this happens, they go home, which looks like a home in the Southwest, like Arizona, New Mexico type. It's like, you know, one of those Pueblo style houses that are popular. They get inside. Not only is this place massive, like it has enough space to have like another room in between two walls, it also has a Victorian staircase, Jay. You know, those famous Pueblo homes built in the late 80s that have the Victorian staircases.
Their interior designer, they had a real they had a real like desire for the exterior to look one way and the interior to look another way.
Leaving aside all that, the fact remains, we got fucking Wolfman a second time, Jay. This is not a mummy movie.
That's what I've heard,
this
too.
This is like the thinnest veneer. They're like, yeah, I guess throw in some Egypt bullshit at the beginning. That's all that ever happens mummy related. This is really like Evil Dead meets The Exorcist, I would say, is the closest thing. Because it's literally, the resolution to the movie is the same thing that happens in The Exorcist. Except instead of the priest taking in the demon, it's the dad takes the demon instead of the girl.
I said to someone, I was like, what if there was a, like, the movie's like getting ready to end, you know, like whatever happens happens, and then there's a knock on the door, and in walks Brendan Fraser, and he goes, I hear you've got a mummy problem.
You know, I like that, but you know who you should add? In walks Tom Cruise and Brendan Fraser. And
dark, like, dark universe, yes. Mummy and Brendan Fraser
and
mummy.
Luke Evans Dracula also showed up from Dracula Untold. Heard you got a mummy problem. Now, see, that would have made this.
Which universe do you want to go in? Do you want to go in his or mine?
I mean, it's, I don't want to say it's like bad. It's almost just kind of boring. It's like stuff you've seen before done better in, like, you've seen this before done better in The Exorcist, or you've seen this before. Literally, he did it better before in Evil Dead Rise.
So that's what I've got to ask. I've not seen Evil Dead Rise yet. It looks, everything I saw in the trailers made it look phenomenal. Yes,
it was very good.
I've been meaning to watch it for a while. And so it's no question that Evil Dead Rise is better than this. Like,
oh no, okay. Not even close. Yeah, he just made the same movie he made last time, but worse. And that's, leaving aside all that, the quality of the movie. I mean, I could see somebody going and having a decent time with this if they don't see a lot of horror movies. I mean, it's like, it's competently made, except for what the fuck has happened to cinematography, Jay? I want to ask you that. This movie is so fucking dark, you could barely see what's going on.
A real The Nun situation.
Yes, a Nun or a Game of Thrones Season 8 Battle of Winterfell type situation. Literally, the color grading is so fucked up, you can't even tell what's going on. Especially like in the big basement spooky scene with the little black pyramid and everything. You can't even see what's happening. And this is in a theater with a projector. Imagine how bad it's going to be at home on your TV.
That was my experience with The Nun. I watched, my wife and I watched the whole movie. And I think I said at one point, I was like, this movie's so dark, I can barely tell what's going on. And we like readjusted the TV and we could see it better. And like all the colors kind of popped at that point. And I went, I'm not going to go and like we were almost done with the movie, had maybe like 15 minutes left. I'm like, I'm not going to go and like start this over. Like,
no, I don't know what's going on in Hollywood, but you need to stop. I mean, they're shooting on these super expensive high dynamic range cameras that capture way more than they ever did before. And then they take it into editing and they dial everything down. So far, it's like all murky crap. You can't see.
There was a podcast I was listening to. I might've mentioned this on here. The guy who made that Afraid movie, that you and I thought was going to be like secretly an M3GAN movie, but it wasn't because it was also like AI and robots or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that was a Blumhouse movie as well. Because he was the guy who said, oh no, we got bumped from our December release because they were afraid of it going up against Kraven the Hunter. Is his and it's like, yes, the powerhouse of Sony Entertainment, Spider-Man universe. We're gonna put you up against Kraven the Hunter. Oh, we don't want to do that. That movie might make money.
Oh no.
But he basically like broke down like his idea for the movie and what the movie was, and then like kind of Blumhousing the movie. And so it's like, you got to start the movie with a scare, which I assume happens.
Oh yes.
You've got, you know, it's like cold open that starts with a scare, and then you get into the movie.
Confined mostly to one location, which they do.
And it's just, he just like broke down all these things that like Blumhouse is like, this is what makes a successful horror movie. And it's like, but it's not. We've been making successful horror movies for years without this formula.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure this will make money because it was produced dirt cheaply. You can tell
people liked it. I mean, that's the thing. Horror always makes money. Yeah. We're almost all. If you've got a horror movie that's not making money, that's your issue.
This is not great. And also, the cherry on top of this whole thing is, this is a fucking hour. No, it's 2 hours.
It's 2 hours.
4 minutes. No, 14 minutes. I think it's 134 minutes, I think, is the actual runtime. Why? There is no need for a horror movie to ever be longer than 90 minutes.
Unless something like...
Well, something like... it would have to be very specific.
Because I think Aliens probably close to 2 hours, but that's also...
That's an action movie, too.
Also one of the most important movies ever made. Like, did they think The Mummy was going to be up there with, like, Alien?
I mean, come on. I would be curious to know. I'll look it up here. How long is the 1997 Mummy?
Oh, that can't be.
That can't be that much longer.
It can't be that much longer.
This movie basically feels twice as long as the Brendan Fraser Mummy.
I'll vamp while you're looking it up. Whoa.
Yes, this is shorter. The Brendan Fraser Mummy is shorter than this movie. You would not guess that by watching it, Jay.
Because, you know, sometimes you can pack one hell of a movie into 90 minutes.
Or, you know, even if you got to go a little bit over, but 134 minutes for a Blumhouse horror movie, Jay.
Ridiculous.
It's just, it barely keeps your attention. I was, like, getting some of these, like, scenes in Egypt where they're having the, quote-unquote, investigation with the police who are working on, like I said, ancient CRT monitor computers. Also, the primary evidence, I want to point out, this is set in the modern day. The primary evidence they find is on a videotape, and she just has ready access to a VCR in 2026.
I mean, some of us do.
Well, yes, like sickos and weirdos would, but you really, it's like, I can just get my hands on a VCR, no problem. And you would think after they recovered the tape or whatever, they might like put it on something else. Like burn it to a disc or put it on a flash drive or whatever. No, they carry the tape home. I'm like, one, there's no way that tape would survive the X-ray machine at the airport.
Tom Cruise Mummy. The one that killed the Dark Universe.
Yes.
110 minutes.
Oh my God.
That was less long than this.
I wanna see what look up how long Evil Dead Rise is. Because this is essentially that movie again but worse. I would bet you it's also shorter.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when he came. 97 minutes. Yes. A perfect runtime for a horror
that
movie.
Is what you want. And that movie flies by, feels great. This one gets way... Honestly, you can feel the time that they're wasting, especially like in the first act where they're doing the quote-unquote investigation, which amounts to nothing, by the way, because they never do anything with it. Oh, the daughter just pops back up, and then they're just like, okay, well, I guess we can give up trying to figure out what happened to her. Let's take her home.
I heard there's like a weird scene too where like maybe it's implied the daughter's trying to seduce her brother or something.
Yeah, there's a few weird scenes.
And a lot
scenes.
Of people are like, what the fuck is this? Like, what the fuck are you doing?
There's that. There's the one where she's like doing the sexy dance for grandma. That's also weird.
The only time I want to see a child doing a sexy dance is in Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah.
Where the entire
that's
movie's
the entire purpose of the movie
hinges on this girl doing an inappropriate dance at a beauty pageant and her grandpa's dead in the back of the Volkswagen minibus.
That would be funny if, you know, and this would have been funny, you know, if the movie was played for laughs, like a more an Evil Dead tone, right? Or whatever. But no, it's played completely seriously. Also, it's starring the guy who was in the bear suit in Midsommar, by the way.
Oh, excellent. My favorite character.
Yes. You know, how could you forget him? It's rough.
The worst boyfriend in cinema history. I don't know if I'd go that far, but he's up there.
I will say, if you don't watch a lot of horror movies, you might think this is okay, although you're probably still going to think it's too long. You're going to be looking at your watch like, is this really still going on? But I would not say, for horror fans, not recommend. Definitely not Blumhouse's best work. Definitely not Lee Cronin's best work. I mean, The Hole, that one's a better one. Evil Dead Rise, better movie. Honestly, I hope his next movie is better than this, because if this is his trajectory, I don't know.
Well, Jeff, while we're on the subject of Blumhouse.
Oh, God.
I got us some One Wish Willows. Ooh. From the upcoming Blumhouse movie Obsession.
Oh, boy.
Spark the middle and break in half. Usage: open the package to a magical jingle and Fun Pop Surprise. Open the One Wish Willow, gently break it in half, and state your wish clearly. Wait up to 24 hours for your wish to come true. Disposal after granting your wish. The One Wish Willow loves its magical loses its magical properties. You only get one wish. Amaze your friends. Spark the middle and break in half.
Only one wish per life per person. Wishes are irreversible.
Collectible prop replica, not a toy.
Ah.
So I don't know. I'm going to make a wish, Jeff.
All right. Do we have to speak it aloud, did it say?
I think that's what it is.
Okay. Let me see.
All right. Are you ready?
Yep. Go ahead.
Do you speak it and then snap it in half? Hold on.
We got to be careful here.
Gently break in half and state your wish clearly. So I assume simultaneously. I wish we had more listeners.
I wish I was a billionaire and could buy more listeners.
Oh, yours was way smarter. All right, 24 hours. We'll see what happens.
Whew. All right, let's hope this works.
So anyway.
Well, we've completed our One Wish Willow, which will, of course, and by the way, listeners, I hate to break it to you, but if I do get that $1 billion, the podcast is going to be changing a little bit. We're going to have a higher production quality. You know, you're not going to have the same two guys in a basement quality that you love.
Oh, man. Remember when Horror for the Holidays was punk rock?
Exactly. We're still underground.
Yep. Nah, they went mainstream because Jeff won $1 billion on that One Wish Willow.
Oh, my God. No, the power of the one wish. I can't. That is my one wish. And you use your one wish for life for more listeners. Oof. Oof. Should have wished you could get over that plastic poisoning for eating all those cockroaches.
But, Jeff, they taste so good. Listeners, if you want to get in touch with us, tell us your opinions on Lee Cronenberg's The Mummy. No, wait. That's an insult to the Cronenbergs. Cronin's The Mummy.
Please, listeners, tell us your opinions on movie titles that are way too long with way too many presented bys.
What was it? Someone asked, they're like, what's your favorite movie with someone with like the director's name in the title, and what's your least favorite movie with the director's name in the title? And I was like, my favorite's probably like a John Carpenter movie.
Yes.
My least favorite is probably whatever the name of the guy, Craig something, for Red Christmas. That movie fucking sucked.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I personally would not put my name on Red Christmas if it was me. But,
right.
You know.
Craig something and D Wallace's Red Christmas.
I'm glad he was proud of it. Craig Anderson.
Craig Anderson. There we go. I knew it was Craig something. Hey, we go.
We're halfway there.
Get in touch with us on social media. We're all the places at Horror for Holidays. That's Horror the number 4 Holidays. Send us an email and hope I don't delete it on accident. Sorry, oops. Spencer. Oops. Horror for the Holidays at gmail.com.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. Do all the things that we love. Give us the 5-star reviews on your podcatcher of choice. And only the 5-star reviews will be read. And if you're a real sicko who actually made it this far into this and didn't just tune out when Jay said he was sick and we were doing double stocking stuffer, put in the headline, of course, 0 stars if I could, so we know it's you.
So we know that you're a real sicko. Yes. Thanks for the Christmas Podcast Network for hosting the nonsense that we get up to every week.
Thank you to them also for providing us legal counsel in our ongoing battle with Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, he took one listen to that episode and he was like, they said what about what I did to Godzilla?
Yes, that was, I mean, obviously you couldn't take issue with the other thing, Jay, yep. Because that was true.
Yeah, we all know what happened. Matthew, we all know what happened in Ireland.
That was a matter of public record.
But go check them out. They've all got all sorts of great shows. I know we didn't win the Ratty on Totally Rad Christmas, which is a travesty of epic proportions. But go check them out. Totally Rad Christmas, Holidays After Dark, Holly Jolly Xmasu, Seasons Eatings, Christmas Creeps. Go check them out. They're great.
You know, you think you know a guy. You go on there and you blood beat off with him. And he doesn't give you a Ratty.
He couldn't put his thumb on the scale.
Man, you could make the audience vote. We know your power, Jerry. Yep.
Anyway, we'll see you next week with another stocking stuffer. And like I said, 2 weeks, we're still going to do The Beast of Walton Street. Yes. Just when I'm feeling better. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.